today on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
The crown of thorns starfish back in the news again, as it is seasonally when money runs out from the government and they've got to get tens of millions of dollars more out and about to continue this destruction of these things. I have for years known a gentleman. I haven't seen much of him lately, but he spent his life out on the Great Barrier Reef. He had different size boats, quite bigger boats over the years. He was a fisherman early on. Then he took on the tourism thing. So he was out there taking tourists out to the Great Barrier Reef. And he said to me on several occasions, he's never understood why this huge effort is underway. These crown of thorns starfish have been here and across the Pacific for probably probably millions of years, actually. And they continue to survive. They spend these millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars every year to eradicate a few of them, and then, of course, they return. He's often wondered about this huge expense and effort to reduce the number of crown of thorn starfish for a season or two. He might have a point. It does say here, this is from today's Cairns Post, contrary to popular belief, Pacific crown of thorns starfish are native to Australian waters, and as their name suggests, can be found across much of the Indo-Pacific region, including the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park, stretching more than 2,300 kilometres along the Queensland coast. And you read this from the Cairns Post on Wednesday. The fight against a plague of thorny reef killers. Thorny reef killers has been given a funding boost with another, wait for it, $54.3 million awarded to contractors along the Queensland coast, including one organisation in the Torres Strait. Look, quite some years ago, there was at long last a realisation that some of this money could be more carefully directed, I suppose. Some action was taken, I guess, back then, but nobody actually was investigated or whatever. People said we've just got to be a little bit more careful about how this huge amount of money is disseminated. But here we are, it's still happening, and people are still scratching their noggins saying, what are we actually achieving here along the 2,300 k's of the Great Barrier Reef? In circumstances when information like this emerges in the media, I turn to the independent scientist and marine geophysicist, Professor Peter Reid. Peter, good morning.
Morning.
These are significant amounts of money. No surprises there. Funding boost coming up. A $54 million going to the contractors along the Queensland coast, including one way up there in the Torres Strait. Achieving what, Peter?
Pretty well precisely nothing, unfortunately. I'm sure the guys work hard and they've got the best intention at heart, but these are natural organisms. The Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority and various others claim that, oh, well, they're in plague proportions because of what the farmers are doing. But interesting statistics like the most number of crown of thorns starfish you'll find are on the Swains Reef, right down the southern part of the reef, which is up to 200 kilometres away from the coast. And there's very little correlation at all whatsoever between what happens on the coast and where you get the plagues. We know from geological evidence that they've been around for, as you said, you know, at least thousands of years, and it must be actually millions of years. I think there'll be occasions when we should take them. If there's a big tide coming for more, opening the big tourist pontoons there, we should do it. But essentially, we're playing around with nature when we actually don't know what's going on. Even the experts on crown of thorns starfish say there's no real evidence to suggest that there's anything, you know, unusual going on. It's just part of what happens on the reef.
Just staggering amounts of money, though, $54 million once again. How often does that sort of money get disseminated amongst the contractors?
Well, it's continuous. That's over 3 years. Mm. So only, you know, divide that by $80 million a year. Mm. But I've done a calculation. In fact, I'm doing some work for the Institute of Public Affairs where we're trying to tot up how much all this reef catastrophism is costing. And it's well over $1 billion, right? So it's about $500 million a year just in handing money, pointless money to scientific institutions, things like this crown of thorns starfish. Then there's the loss of productivity. So, for example, the coal mine that was stopped, And then if you add on the effect of the tourist industry, I've done some analysis of the tourism numbers over the last, 4 years, and you can make a strong case that the tourist industry in North Queensland should be at least 50% bigger if it wasn't for the fact that everybody around the world in Australia has been told that the reef is dead. So this is costing us big, big bucks. And, you know, this is just a little, it's not a drop in the bucket. You know, 50 million is still a lot of money even for this type of stuff. But there is huge amounts of money that are being completely wasted.
It's just, in fact, you've just talked about the buckets there, and there's this image that our coastal streams, this outflow of pollution from our coastal streams is devastating the Great Barrier Reef. You have a way of explaining to people the amount of wash that comes through naturally, I presume, south to north, inside the Great Barrier Reef, if you like, that makes that outflow from coastal streams almost irrelevant.
That's right. The reef is connected to the Pacific Ocean, and as much water flushes in and out from the Pacific Ocean in just 8 hours as comes down all the rivers along the coast of Queensland in a whole year, right? So the big river for the Great Barrier Reef is not the Barron River or even the Burdekin River. It's the North Vanuatu Jet and the East Australia Current. These are the big rivers that flush vast quantities of utterly pure blue azure water into the reef. And actually what we do is, although, yes, it will have an effect in Trinity Bay when it's a big flood, but for most of the time, for almost all of the reefs, the water is pure. It's beautiful.
By the way, while I've got you there too, it's all over the place, this world's largest coral found out in the Pacific, out in the Solomons somewhere. I don't quite understand. Is it one huge bommy, the biggest ever found, or is it one, you know, singular a coral growth? What's going on with this one? Do you know?
It's an individual colony, so it's like a big Pyrites brain coral. You know, if a reef was a forest, the forest would be the reef. And this would be one of the trees, right? Okay. And it's, I forgot the numbers, you know, it's 30 metres across. So it's one individual colony. All the individual polyps, you know, the individual little tiny things, are identical, right? So it's one organism. People sometimes use the word bommy to mean different things. So a bommy can be just a very, very large individual coral.
Yes.
Or it can be a whole bunch of corals that are all out by themselves.
I see.
But this is one sort of group of animals that are all together, one piece of coral.
Is it a big deal that it's more than 300 years old?
No, it's not. I mean, there's plenty of these corals which are... Oh, yeah, it is a big deal in the sense that they're not that common, but the Australian Institute of Marine Science have drilled into these corals to look at climate records, and they go back, I think, to 1540 or something. So, you know, some of these corals are 400 years old. I guess it's pretty rare. And by the way, that's part of the way we can see that, for example, coral growth rates have not slowed down in the last 400 years. So they're claiming, oh, in the last, 30 years they've slowed down. But actually, coral growth rates have not slowed down because we've got all these corals out there which we can drill holes in and measure the rings of their growth.
Yes.
And corals are doing fine.
There you go. Always good to talk to you, Peter. Thank you.
No problems. Thanks for asking.
Isn't that refreshing, getting another very qualified point of view on these matters? He's the independent scientist and marine geophysicist, Professor Peter Ridd.